there's not that many people who take sabbaticals, and the people that we do know who take sabbaticals tend to be white folks. If you're a person of color, if you come from a first gen background in which you have grown up in a context in which we're always working and hustling, I strongly encourage you to take a sabbatical if you can, because I think like it's so freaking powerful for people like us to be able to experience rest, to be able to experience travel, joy, whatever that looks like for you, right? And so I want as many people to be able to take sabbaticals. And even if you come out of the sabbatical like me, kind of like grappling with this tension of like, do I want a full-time work? What? Those questions are literally, like Sunil was saying, are going to continue to improve my life. What's up, y'all?
Welcome to the Money Noticias podcast.
If you're tired of this shit and want to learn how to use money to live your life on your own terms, you're at the right place.
We're your hosts, Israel and Sunam Tovar, your favorite Latina siblings on the internet. We're committed to empowering you to take control of your money and life.
So if you're ready to get your money right, we're so glad you're here.
Welcome back to the Money Noticias podcast. We're your hosts and favorite Latina siblings on the internet, Israel and Sunam.
Hello, y'all. In today's solo episode, we are going to focus on a topic that many of you have shown interest in and that I hold a special place in my heart. So we are going to focus on sabbaticals today.
Yes, we will talk all about what a sabbatical is, why you would want to take a sabbatical, and how to financially prepare for one.
Yes, but before we dive into today's episode, we wanted to kiki a little bit, you know, like we always do in our solo episodes, because we love a good kiki. But I also know that y'all chismosis out there also love the tea, okay? I don't blame you, because I used to be known as Mr. Chismoso when I was in the classroom. So let's go ahead and give the people what they want, Sunam. So Sunam, ¿cómo estás? ¿Qué nos cuentas?
Okay, so since our last solo episode, I don't know, it always feels like forever, but since our last solo episode 2 weeks ago, I believe, I was traveling again. I went to Arizona.
Cuando no.
I went to Arizona for an event. It was called Mujeron Movement Event, and I had a good time. I was able to connect with other Latinas, and I had never gone to that part of Arizona. It was Scottsdale, Arizona. But when I got there on a Friday, like, and we went out to eat, I was like, am I back in Nashville? Like, it's all white here. But no, I had a good time. I also cut my hair there. So I literally got off the plane. My plane was late, maybe 20 minutes late. And I was thinking that I was going to take a Lyft or an Uber to the Airbnb and drop off my things and then walk to the salon. But no, since my plane was late, I was like, I literally had to take my stuff to the salon, like my bags and everything. But I didn't want to be rude, so I called them before just to let them know. I'm like, I think I'm going to be 5 minutes late, and is it okay if I bring all my bags? And they're like, yeah, that's fine. And yeah, so I cut my hair, and I really like it. I thought I needed a new change. I was like, I'm just over my long hair. And so I was like, yeah. And I was telling some people in the event that I just like didn't really do much research. I just went, just picked the first salon that I found when I was like Googling it. And I feel like the universe knew that I wanted, like, I needed a new start, a new hairstyle. That I like, the salon that I went to was really great. Like, the person who cut my hair, she was great.
Yeah, no, it looks really, really good. I'm also gonna cut my hair because I saw Regina George wearing army pants and flip flops, so I'm going to buy army pants and flip flops. Okay, I'm just kidding. No. So in case y'all don't know, we are huge fans of Mean Girls. It's mm-hmm. just, we love Mean Girls. So that was a cute little reference to Mean Girls and me saying that I was going to copy Sanem's haircut. I obviously can't copy her haircut, right? But anyway, no, it looks really good. And you also have gotten like a lot of skincare procedures, and your skin looks really good, and it's giving that, you know, it's just your local influencer influencing, right? Influencing me to also want to get some skincare procedures, because I can tell the difference. Like, your skin is like glowing, and mine is looking a little dusty. I'm not gonna lie. You know, mine is looking a little dusty, and you know, like I said, men smell, and I look dusty. So I'm not trying to be one of those men. So I need to make sure to invest in my skin too. But yeah, you got a facial recently, and your skin has been glowing since then. So I'm definitely gonna invest in a little facial.
Yeah. I definitely like something that I have been spending a lot of my money on this year is skincare. And in the beginning, I didn't want to. I was like, because taking care of your skin is expensive. So like, you have to buy sunscreen, use sunscreen all the time, get facials. And I even got like a microneedling treatment, which is supposed to help you with like, you know, anti-aging, which you can never, I feel like anti-aging is like the wrong word, because we're always going to age regardless. So I guess like preventative care, but yeah. So like I got that done, and yeah, but yeah, I don't regret getting all of those things done.
Yeah, no, your skin looks glowing. I want my skin to glow too. All right, so some updates on my end. I don't travel as much as you do, Sanem. You know, some of us are not as rich as you, right? Some of us have to live, you know, normal lives. And I'm just kidding. No. So I haven't traveled. Well, last time we traveled was to New Orleans. We traveled together, and we will actually be traveling to Cancun the week that this episode airs. So we'll be living our best lives in Cancun. We're hoping to record some cute little content, you know what I'm saying? So if you see some content with the beach and some margaritas, it's because you best believe we're living our best lives in Cancun. It's going to be a cute little family trip. We're going with our siblings. And I'm so excited because we went for the first time. That was the first trip that I took when I left the classroom and I started my sabbatical. And it was really good. It was in that trip that we took we went to Cancun and Playa del Carmen, where I realized that Sunem likes to fight and that I need to make sure that we have boundaries, because she always starts the fights and I never have anything to do with it. Right. So, you know, she likes to fight, period. You know, I don't know what else to tell you. And so, and because I'm so innocent, I'm such a good friend, you know, like I'm just there, you know, just trying to be my innocent self. So. But anyway, I'm really excited to go to Cancun. I'm also going to be going to the annual Harvard-Yale game, which will be taking place in New Haven in a couple weeks. I always go when it's in New Haven because I don't like crusty, dusty Boston or Harvard. I'm sorry if you're from Boston. I'm sorry if you're a Harvard grad. But you know, if you're a Harvard grad, you know them bricks don't do it. Okay, the bricks don't do it. Whereas the Gothic architecture at Yale is so beautiful, and I love New Haven so much. I feel so connected to the city itself. And I just like going to see my friends and for the vibes. And so I'm going to be there for the vibes.
And for the party.
You know, I didn't want to say that, but, you know, for a little something, you know, we're going to have a little something there. But yeah, but life has been good. You know, your boy has been still going to therapy. You know, I'm trying to be therapized out here. Trying to figure out my life. You know, it's rough out here for those who are trying to, you know, heal and live a more intentional life. You know, developing intentionality takes work. It takes investment in yourself. And it's not an easy or pleasurable process. But, you know, I think that the fruits of this labor are worth it. So I'm going to continue to be therapized. But yeah, that's most major updates on my end, unless you got any clarifying questions for me, Sanem.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, all right, we'll leave it there then.
Okay, so now that we've cheesed me out a little bit, let's go ahead and dive into today's topic. We'll try to keep it short. We always say that, and then we just talk and talk and talk. But okay, let's. Okay, so today we're gonna be talking about a sabbatical. But you might be wondering, like, what is a sabbatical? I've never heard of such a thing. So basically, a sabbatical is time you take to just be and live your life without having to work. And that sounds amazing. So it can be as short or as long as you want it to be, or you can financially afford, because maybe you can only afford 3 months, or maybe you've saved enough that you can afford to not work for 2 years. So during a sabbatical, you can travel during this time. You can maybe do some creative projects, maybe try to create a business if that's what you want. But I feel like then that's not a sabbatical because that's a lot of work. Never mind. So you basically just rest and relax, or, you know, do anything else that you want to do.
So as I mentioned before in other episodes, I actually took a sabbatical myself from when I left the classroom in July of 2022. And I took, originally it was supposed to be like a 1 year sabbatical, but, you know, it was giving skinny bank accounts and also, you know, capitalism called. And so I got recruited to the company that I work for now in February of 2023. So it was like an 8 month sabbatical, and it was life changing. And I think I've mentioned this in multiple occasions, but I must mention it again. I think that for me, then I think I've always been very high performing, you know, graduated from Yale with honors and distinction, and then went to Stanford, graduated with a really high GPA, was a really high performing teacher, got my students to perform the second best in all of DC on the 2021 AP World History exam, right? I've always been very high performing, really high achieving, and I used to extract a lot of joy from it, you know, a lot of satisfaction, fulfillment, especially because so passionate about advancing social justice for my communities, right? But during my sabbatical, like, I had this fundamental shift, right, if you will, in terms of how I view my life and myself. And I realized that I extract more joy and more peace and more purpose and fulfillment from just being, from just not working. And so what did I do during this time? So I was working a little bit, but on my own terms and in creative projects. And so we were focusing at that time, the Dream Teacher Project, right? Which now is just fully Money Noticias podcast. But during that time, also the podcast was born. And doing that work was really enjoyable because I didn't have to depend on it for my income, right? And I feel like if I had to depend on it, like if I was taking that break to just focus on my business and our business and grow it, I don't think it would have been a sabbatical because I don't think I would have rested as much and had the time to just, you know, reflect. But anyway, during my sabbatical, delved into creative projects. I traveled across the U.S. and Mexico, spent like a month in Mexico City, a month in Mérida, like a few weeks in different parts of the U.S. and, you know, a month in Tijuana here and there. Like, I was just out and about. And at first, I was burnt out, right? And it was the first time ever that I, like, let my body slow down. Because even during summers, when I was a teacher, and during summers, when I was a student, I would do internships. I would do summer teaching to get more money, right? I was still hustling, even like it would give myself like a week or two to like slow down. It was still kind of like, okay, 1 or 2 weeks to slow down. And then, you know, you have to go to your internship. You have to do this, X, Y, and Z. And so it was the first time ever that I was like, okay, I'm gonna slow down for a lot longer period of time. Mm-hmm. And so initially, like, I was just burnt out. Like, my body was like, bitch, you're just gonna sit down on the couch and watch Pedro el Escamoso, like a telenovela, right? So I was just, there's like 400 episodes and I've been to watch almost all of them in like 2 weeks. And I wasn't doing shit, right? Like, I was just waking up and just going with the flow. And so I was kind of, you know, my body was resting, but also like I realized that I still need structure. I still need routine. And so I started giving myself structure and routine. And that took me some time, like a couple months to figure out my structure and routine. But I figured it out. And I would just, you know, go to coffee shops when I wanted to, just go on strolls, just be cute, take cute pictures of myself, you know, like, it was such a good time. And spent a lot of time with loved ones, friends, made new friends, you know, so I did a lot of those things during my sabbatical.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you took a sabbatical and that I was able to be there with you when we traveled and also like learn through you, because like, first of all, like, if I ever take a sabbatical, I know that I can allow myself not to have any routines, but I would need to go back and have those routines. So it's good that, you know, you've taken that, because I see that too. And also, like, when I was traveling with you and you were on your sabbatical, I was always jealous because I was still working and I would see you do whatever you wanted. I was like, I want that. But then, you know, when you came back, it was different. But we'll talk about that a little bit. The next topic we want to say is, like, why should you take a sabbatical? Like, we kind of touched upon, like, what a sabbatical is. Like, you know, having the time to do whatever you want without having to work. But why should you take a sabbatical? So, like Israel mentioned, like, you can slow down, you can rest and get to know yourself better. I know Israel was able to literally know himself a lot. And I think taking a sabbatical actually also made you go to therapy afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to be fair, a lot of people have been encouraged. People who I love have been encouraging me to go to therapy. Not because, you know, like, therapy is not necessarily for folks who, I'm sure our audience resonates with this idea, but I just want to highlight it. Like, therapy is not necessarily if you have or you're facing like mental health challenges. It's like if you just want to like get to know yourself better, improve your quality of life, right? If you have thoughts and issues that you want extra support in grappling with, right? And I think that like I was a very like stable person. That's what my therapist told me in our intake meeting. Like, I'm very stable, I'm solid, but therapy would help improve my quality of life. And I'm glad that I started going to therapy, because the epiphanies that I've had in therapy have definitely improved my quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And so another good reason why you should take a sabbatical is, like, it's a good option for people who are trying to pursue financial independence, you know, meaning that you don't never have to work again. You're like trying to have enough money in your investments so that you never have to work again. But a lot of people who pursue FIRE tend to like be very aggressive when it comes to their investments. Also, like, they don't really ask themselves, like, what do they want after they reach FIRE? Because, like, you know, FIRE is like a big goal. And I've heard stories that like people who reach FIRE and they never like had the chance to ask themselves like what they wanted, they get depressed when they reach FIRE because they have no more, they don't have any other goals. So I think that like taking a sabbatical is a really good thing to do if you're pursuing FIRE, because it's going to give you a better sense of how you would like to organize your life once you become FIRE. And now you know if you actually would like to not work at all. Because maybe what if you take a sabbatical and you're, I was so bored in my sabbatical, like I wanted to go back to work. And like Israel, for his experience was like so different. So like I think it's just really good that people take sabbaticals. That way you know more about yourself.
Yeah. And it's definitely a blessing and a curse, because I don't know if you remember this, Anand, but during my sabbatical too, I was asking myself questions that I hadn't before. And it was hard. Like those questions were hard. Like, what am I going to do for, like, there's just so many questions that I was asking myself like that. Like there were like stages in my, you were telling me one time when we were on a walk, there was like stages. Like the first stage was just like kind of like burnt out, you know, and the second stage was like, oh, you feel better. And the third stage is kind of like existential crisis questions of like, what's the purpose? Like, I was like, should I go back to teaching? Like, I had so many questions that were born out of the fact that I wasn't work consumed by work. But it definitely changed my life for the better, because I think I've become a healthier person because of my sabbatical, right? And I think I'm going to lead a more intentional and healthier life moving forward. Like, for example, and I know I mentioned this in other episodes, like now that I feel very busy, I don't enjoy it. Before, I used to enjoy being busy. I'm like, oh, I'm getting shit done. You know, it was giving very much capitalism. Whereas now it's like, when I'm busy, I'm not able to live in the present. And I know how it feels to live in the present because of my sabbatical, right? Now, when I'm really busy or stressed, I feel it on my, I feel the stress on my shoulders and on my neck, on my back. Whereas before, it was kind of like just normalized for me to feel that and not be in tune with my body. So definitely a blessing in that sense, but it also was like a curse, if you will, because it's been so freaking challenging to go back into full-time work, even though I do have a lot of flexibility in my job and all these things, right? And the issue that I was talking in therapy about this week is like, what if I never enjoy work again? Because like, I know what freedom tastes like, you know, and that's it. But like at the same time, which is so interesting, so then we were talking about this, like during my sabbatical, I was able to like improve my relationship with money and improve like know that like before I used to be like so frugal. So like during my sabbatical, I was like, if I'm not spending my whole entertainment fund from my budget, then I'm not living the way I'm supposed to live. So I would spend it all. And I became way more like bougie, if you will. Like not bougie, but like my quality of life is higher now because I'm like, I want to live by myself. I want this, this, and this. Also, I'm about to blame you for some of that because you're the one who exposed me to like lounges and some other things that I had no exposure to before. So now I'm bougie. I'm just kidding. I really appreciate that. But so it was, you know, like I think that like it's hard now. Like it's hard for me to be working full time when I know what it felt like, freedom felt like. So definitely a blessing and a curse. But I think overall, it did change my life for the better.
You know what? I would be really interested to get your take on a sabbatical in like a few years, like maybe after you've been working for 2 years, and see how you would look at it now. Like you said, it's a blessing and a curse. I wonder if in 2 years after like you've gotten back into it, or if you're ever able to. How your answer would be, like, would you be like, actually, it was just a blessing because I learned so much. I feel like it just feels like a curse right now because you're like asking yourself all these questions that you would have never asked yourself if you had never taken a sabbatical. And yeah, it just feels like you're going through like an existential crisis. Like, what? Why am I here? Why does work exist? Things that like, you know, we can never ask ourselves when we're always like working and in hustle mode and doing everything just to survive. And so I think that would be interesting to see. This episode is brought to you by our free training guide.
If you're ready to take control of your debt, we provide you with 6 steps to make it happen.
Download your free guide today by going to the episode show notes.
No more excuses, no more nada. You got this, boo. Yeah, I mean, this is definitely going to be a chapter in my life. Yeah, I'm about to write a book. I'm just letting you know, I'm manifesting this right now. And I know my book is about to be so interesting. So, you know, stay tuned for my book when I do write it in the future. And this is going to be one part of my, it's going to be a chapter in my life. And I wonder how the chapters after are going to unfold, right? But girl, I'm trying to live in the present, you know. I'm not worried about that yet. But yeah, it's giving, you know, how is my life going to change and how my perspective going to change as time progresses and new experiences come along. But yeah, that's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, but I honestly think all the questions you're asking yourself are really good. And I feel like a lot of us don't ask ourselves those questions because we've never experienced complete freedom. But once we taste that, that's when we're like, yeah, we want this. How can I attain this again?
Yeah. So for more context, y'all, like Sunem, like she mentioned earlier, she was like, ooh, like when I was in my sabbatical, she's like, I'm definitely going to take a sabbatical. Like, I definitely want to have this freedom. Israel is living his best life. Like, you're going to catch me living my best life. And then, you know, she saw me progressing through my little different stages. And she's like, okay, you know, it's giving, you know, grapple and work and stuff, you know, inner workings. And then when I went back to full-time work, I was really going through it. She was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't take a sabbatical. Because if someone like Israel, who's been super high-performing, high-achieving, like, all his life, like, is really struggling to get back into full-time work, then, you know, Sonam, who you've also been like high achieving and stuff, but not like as intense as me. You know, like it'll probably be more challenging for you to go back into full time.
Yeah. So yeah. It was like I really love that you did it and I got to live through you because I've learned so much. And that's why we always say like surround yourself with other people who are doing things that you want to do because you can ask them questions before you do something and you can learn from there. You can learn from their experience. So I'm definitely learning from each other's experience. And so I do still want to take a sabbatical, but not now. I'm going to definitely plan that out. But yeah, if I ever take a sabbatical, I'll definitely let everyone know and how that goes. And I will definitely let you go through the process with me because I feel like my brain is going to go crazy.
But I do want to say this, like my experience is my experience. It doesn't mean that's going to be your experience, right? Like maybe you are feeling so burnt out that like 3 months of not working is what you needed. And yeah, going back to work is going to be challenging, but you just needed those 3 months. And so like, you know, like sometimes like our experiences are so different. Like Sonam said, like maybe you realize that work actually gives you a lot of structure and routine and it stimulates you. And maybe you don't want to be, you still want to work full time, maybe not at just that company or maybe in a different industry or you, you know, like there's so many different, and that's the beauty of taking a sabbatical that like you get to know yourself better and get to know, gain more clarity in what you want in your life as you're asking yourself these hard questions. And so the clarity that I gain is going to be very different from the clarity that you gain, right? Or there might be similarities, I don't know, right? But we're different people. And so let my experience kind of give you exposure on like what a sabbatical can look like, but it's not the only way it can be. It's not the only outcome it can have.
That's true. Yeah. And also like, I think one of the reasons why you took a sabbatical was because you were really burnt out. And so maybe like if you're a person who's thinking of taking a sabbatical, but you're not like burnt out, you just want to experience something, maybe your experience is going to be completely different.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that can inform your experience if you do take a sabbatical.
Okay, so now that we talked about the sabbatical and Ishaan is providing us his real life examples from him taking a sabbatical, so how do you financially prepare for a sabbatical? So the first thing is like you want to take control of your finances first. So that means that you want to have, you know, a manageable amount of debt in case you have debt. It's important that you pay off your high interest debt, like credit card debt. Or if you don't want to pay it off, like that's fine. You just have a plan that you know you would have that money to pay to make like the payments that you need to make. The other thing that you want to do is like have a budget that works for you. Because when you're starting to plan for a sabbatical, you want to make sure that, you know, you're paying off your debt, you have money, like extra money to start saving for the sabbatical, because if you don't have any money, then you really can't take a sabbatical.
Yeah, but the other piece too is that you should know your spending habits already, right? You should have developed money habits that are working for you, serving you, for you to accomplish your financial goals. Like you should have a good sense of how much you spend every month. Right, like that's really, really key for you to take a sabbatical, because you're going to be, the number that you're going to choose for your sabbatical is going to be heavily determined by how much do you spend every month, right? And also, are you taking a sabbatical and just like staying put at home and paying for rent? Are you going to travel? How much are you going to spend in traveling? And so having a budget that works for you is super key because of that self-awareness piece in terms of your money habits and how much money you spend every month, because that's going to be, you're going to need that information as you plan an appropriate and a realistic amount for you to have in your sabbatical.
Yeah, and something else is that sometimes when you take a sabbatical, maybe you might end up spending more than you originally planned, or maybe you are spending less because maybe going to work stresses you out and you need to buy all these things to make you feel better. But while you're in your sabbatical, you're like, actually, I don't need to buy any of that. So yeah, it's also like really interesting because your budget can be a little bit different. So allow that flexibility to be there. And also like if you do plan on like traveling the world, make sure you do research before, because you know, the flights, where you're going to be staying, the cost of the food, like do some research like that and always have like a little like extra just in case. And then the next thing you want to do is develop a sabbatical sinking fund. And so this is where you're going to be saving that amount that you're going to use while you're not working. And you want to take into your account your medical and dental insurance and expenses because, you know, here in the United States, a lot of our medical expenses are tied to like our employer. We have health insurance through our employer. When we get out, we have to look for it ourselves. So that's something else you want to do research on before, because the cost might be completely different. And I wish it wasn't like this. This is why I don't like
the ghetto. The ghetto, ratatata, the ghetto. Okay. And the other piece that I want to highlight here is that you should also, like with medical or dental, if you do have a partner and they're still working, maybe they're working remote and they're going to travel with you, if that's what you decide to do, take that into account, right? And then also as you're developing your sabbatical sinking fund, think about, you should determine how long you're going to take a sabbatical and what are going to be your like estimated monthly expenses. Right. So are you going to take a 6-month sabbatical, a 9-month sabbatical, a 3-month, a year sabbatical? How much do you need every month if you're traveling, or how much do you need every month if you are staying put and just paying rent in your apartment or your house mortgage or whatever? Right. Like, have that number set so you can then strategically hit that number.
Yeah. And the next one is to work on your money mindset. So this is a hard one, I believe. So when we talk about your money mindset, like it might, like going on sabbatical might like bring up like your scarcity issues because you're not making any money. And maybe that's going to bring up a lot of emotions. And I'm saying this because I feel like that's going to happen to me. So I'm like definitely working on that now. But for Israel, it wasn't like he said that his money mindset got better. It's good to work on your money mindset just so that you have those tools there in case you need them.
Or just be aware of it, right? Be aware of like, I might develop scarcity money mindset because I'm not investing as much as I used to. I'm not saving as much. No money is coming in, right? Maybe it's not going to impact you the way it didn't impact me, right? In fact, I was thriving. I think for me, being on sabbatical was my healthiest money mindset than me going back into full-time working. I'm like, oh my God, you know, my money. And so like, it depends, you don't know, but just knowing that that may be a reality where it's going to impact it. And at least you identifying it or knowing that there's a possibility of it prior is going to be really helpful if it does show up.
Hey there, just wanted to quickly ask you that if you are enjoying the podcast, please drop us a quick rating or review. The more reviews we have, the more amazing listeners like you can find the podcast and benefit from our content. This is going to help us a lot, so thank you so much. We can't wait to read your amazing review. And the last thing is have a plan for going back to work because, you know, sabbatical is great, but you're still not financially independent. You still have to rely on going back to work. So have a plan for that. So maybe like you decide that you don't want to work as much like Israel found out. So think of like other, like maybe you can decide to start a business because you want to do that. But I feel like starting a business is a lot of work too. So just have that in mind. Just have that in mind. Or maybe you're like, I actually really enjoy my flexibility. So I see myself only working 15 hours a week. Or I see that I want a lot of work and life balance. So I want a remote job. And so you can decide to do that. So it's like really important just to plan what you think you're going to want to do coming back from your sabbatical.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I can talk about how I financially prepared for my sabbatical. I have been on my journey of getting my money right for a minute. And so that summer, prior to deciding that I was going to take a sabbatical, I had already hit a 6-figure net worth. And that was, you know, a handful of years of me, you know, saving, investing, working my budget for it to work for me, I had just sold my house and I used that money to invest, right? I knew that I wanted to take a sabbatical when after I was working fully remote for a year and a half as a teacher, and then I went back into the classroom and a bitch was back in the trenches, and also it was a really challenging year in education, and it's just been challenging, even more challenging since then. But that year, a lot of teachers were quitting, and I used to work at a pretty solid school that served low-income Black and brown students, but was really well-funded, small class sizes, whatever. But it was really hard to, one, go back into working in person in a building, and two, go back to teach during the pandemic, three, having teachers quit left and right, four, the kids just, you know, acting a fool and having just wanted Mr. Tovad, me, to go talk to them if they were acting up or, you know, all these things. And so that's when I knew, I was like, a bitch needs to leave. And I don't just want to pivot into a different industry. I would need to rest, because during that school year, there are so many points where my health was really bad. Like, I'll share this because I feel like this experience really encapsulates that year. There's a moment in February where I couldn't even use the restroom because I was so stressed out. And it wasn't until I came to Nashville to visit for a weekend that my body finally relaxed and I was finally able to use the restroom. And so that's when I knew a bitch needs to take a sabbatical, right? And so when I started the school year and I felt all that stress already, I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop investing in my, I had already built my emergency fund. So that money that I was going to my emergency fund was going to my sabbatical. The money that was going to my IRA was going to my sabbatical. I took on a lot of extra side hustles that year at school to fund my sabbatical, right? And so I stopped investing aggressively. I was still investing quite a bit in my 403B, but the additional money that I was investing in a brokerage and an IRA, just funneled that into my sabbatical. And I also started planning trips during while I was still working, even though it was going to be like 8, 9, 10 months prior to me taking those trips. So for example, like Sunem and I knew that we were going to go to Mexico City in September of 2022. And so December of 2021, we booked the flights, we booked the Airbnb. And so that allowed it to be more like cheaper, right? I also like planned for my medical, like I did a lot of research and insurances. Like I did all of that during the school year when I had a salary, right? And so I was able to build $20K sabbatical fund to travel for a year. And people are like, oh, that was enough. And I was like, well, partly it was enough because I was staying at my parents' house, even though I was giving some money to my older sister who, you know, lives in the property. But it was not that much. And I think that helped significantly, right? But like, I did all that financial planning prior to, like, I had my little spreadsheet, my little budget, like all of that, right? And I think that helped a lot in financially preparing for my sabbatical. I had no plan on like what I was going to do for a job. I just knew that I was going to delve into our creative project of the Dream Teacher Project at that time. And I wasn't sure if we're going to go full time or not. We did make income from the business, but we funneled that money back into the business. Then when my bank account was giving me a little skinny bank account, I was like, okay, well, you know, I have to start, you know, applying for jobs, right? And so I started applying for jobs and I was rejecting jobs left and right. I was like, I'm not about to settle for none of this meager ass salary, you know what I'm saying? And I was able to do that because I was still on my sabbatical. And even if my sabbatical were to end, my sabbatical fund, I still had an emergency fund that I can fall back onto. And, you know, like a job came for me, right? Like literally I was like living my best life. And next thing you know, I had a job that like was paying me well. It was giving me what I needed for that version of myself then, which, you know, I kind of gone through a metamorphosis now, but it was giving me what I was manifesting then, you know? And so I didn't really have a plan to go back to work like the way Sunem was mentioning. I was trying to figure that out during my sabbatical. So, and then my sabbatical ended early because, you know, I started working full time at the company where I work for now. But that's how I financially prepared for my sabbatical.
Okay, so I have a question for you. So if you can go back and plan your sabbatical, would there be anything different that you would do?
Like during my sabbatical or when the planning stages?
The planning stages. Now that you know what you know now, would you plan something different?
That's a really good question and a really hard question because I love the way my sabbatical unfolded. Financially speaking, I would love to have taken a 2-year sabbatical, but also I don't think I would have been able to afford that unless I would have started saving earlier, but also I wanted to reach a 6-figure net worth. And so I don't think I would have done anything differently, to be quite honest, just given the constraints / limitations of my finances. But if I were to take a sabbatical again in the future, I think I would do what you're doing, which is I would have even more money invested in the stock market because I know that it's going to be really hard to go back to work full time. And I think I will take a longer sabbatical too.
Okay. That's why we wanted to do this episode because we wanted you to hear from someone who has taken a sabbatical, Israel, and learn and also like how to plan for a sabbatical because this is something that I feel like I want to take, not right now, but in the future. And so I'm like definitely planning for it and taking into account what Israel has told me. And so I'm like making it work for me. So like, you know, you need to make it work for you. And something else that I do want to point out is that me and Israel have reached Costa 5, meaning that we both have enough money in our investment accounts that they will grow to more than $1 million at the age of 60. And so we can ask ourselves these questions in the sense are like, do we want to continue working when we take a full-time job after we come back from a sabbatical? Because we don't really need to invest anymore. We do want to continue to invest because our goal is to retire earlier, to retire in our 40s. And so that's also a reason why we can ask ourselves these questions. But maybe for you, you don't have enough invested in the stock market to become Costa 5. And so maybe that's something that you might want to take into consideration too. But, you know, everybody's different.
Yeah, but like we always say, like the way we always preach, like you setting a strong financial foundation for yourself is so important because that gives you options, right? An option to take a sabbatical, an option to have a more flexible lifestyle, ask for better work conditions, you know? And the other piece that I also want to add here is that like, there's not that many people who take sabbaticals, and the people that we do know who take sabbaticals tend to be white folks. And so like, if you're a person of color, if you come from a first gen background in which you have grown up in a context in which we're always working and hustling, I strongly encourage you to take a sabbatical if you can, right? Because I think like it's so freaking powerful for people like us to be able to experience rest, to be able to experience travel, joy, whatever that looks like for you, right? And so I want as many people to be able to take sabbaticals. And even if you come out of the sabbatical like me, kind of like grappling with this tension of like, do I want a full-time work? What those questions are literally, like someone was saying, are going to continue to improve my life. I'm healthier now, right? And so I want more people like us to be able to take sabbaticals. All right, y'all. So we hope y'all learned a little something, you know, today. But that is all for today. We said it's going to be short, but, you know, this is giving long-ass episode per usual. Okay, per usual. Because, you know, we stay yapping and yapping, right? We stay yapping and yapping. Some more than others, right? Some more than others. Guilty as charged, right? But that is all for today. Thank you for spending this time with us. And remember to live, rest, and secure the bag.
If you are enjoying this podcast, please share with a friend, family member, or loved one.
Please and thank you.